At 8 DBM.
We're all early.
Is everyone just so excited to go to work?
It's Thursday, I think.
Something like that.
You got a whole week ahead of you, or you got any time off?
Oh yeah, whole week. Monday through Friday. Got work Christmas party Friday at the office, and Christmas with my family Friday in the afternoon. Hosting my in-laws Saturday, then going to my boss's party on Saturday afternoon. So next 6 days are going to be a grind.
Oh, you're off today and all this week?
Oh, no. I'm Monday through Friday work, but then I got two Christmas parties Friday, two Christmas parties Saturday.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. What about Christmas week? You got any time off there besides the holidays?
I might take the day after, just because. I don't know, we'll see. But my wife works Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so holiday is kind of a... sporadic this year. We're meeting everyone at different times.
Ryan, I keep forgetting what your wife does and the fact that she works a lot of holidays, so you could take it off, but shrug, you know, what's the difference? You know, so, yepers, except the kids are off and you can take off, you know, to watch the kids. You don't have to do that, but yep, makes it a big difference. I know my son, he works, he gets Wednesdays and Thursdays off, so coincidentally, this year, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day fall on his days off, which kind of sucks, actually. I don't know how that works. They must have it worked out. But we still have him off. I mean, for the longest time, he couldn't make anything because he was on afternoon shift, and he only had, like, Mondays and Tuesdays off, so he literally wasn't available for anything. At least now he's got a day shift, so he can make some stuff. And Wednesday and Thursday ain't great, but, yeah, it works out.
I'm sure if it's, I don't know if Christmas Eve is a recognized holiday. I hope it is. That'd be cool to get paid for an extra day. But he'll probably just get an extra day or two pay on that period, which would be nice.
Well, I know it is for us, but, you know, we get everything. You know, we get, you know, Juneteenth. So, and I only say Juneteenth because it was the most recent holiday added. Yeah, so we get that. You can imagine we get everything. We get Indigenous Peoples Day, Election Day, Veterans Day, I think. I don't know. There's all sorts of them we get. All the bank holidays, I guess, is the way they say it.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig. My biggest complaint about the sector I'm working in right now is holidays really don't exist because the longer we're not working, the more stuff that's accumulating. So even if it's a holiday, you got to make up for it on the back end another day.
Oh, yeah. No, we're surprisingly resilient in that way. You know, because during COVID, the entire county shut down. You know, they wouldn't allow anybody to report to work except us. We had, we'd have one body open up the shop and one hang out in the garage. And we just kind of kept the door open. But everybody else just worked out of their house with their van. You know, if they had to come in, they would just come in, get parts or something like that, restock, and back out, ships at sea. So we have somebody scheduled whenever we have these holidays. So if there's any issues, which, you know, there always is something, you know, somebody's available. But so really nothing gets backburnered or anything like that. What does happen is, you know, you don't schedule, like, installation work. You don't schedule, you know, archive work. You don't schedule, like, that kind of work gets backed up, obviously, because, you know, you're not doing it then. You got to do it when you get back. Right, any of the non-priority work gets pushed. I cannot believe that was 5 years ago. Yep, weird times. I'll tell you what, we were foreboding from coming into work for about a year, and you know, they tried to make it as normal as possible. We had regular, you know, Zoom meetings to start the days, and you know, and we would talk to all our people and. Of course, you know, correspond with everybody, but it just wasn't the same, right? And I remember even when the grocery stores were real bare, I used to show up like on a Tuesday morning, you know, before right when the doors open, try to find toilet paper and stuff, but. Geez, what weird times. Glad it's over, that's for sure. I remember one of the reasons why I quit working at UHY was it was the same thing, right? Skeleton crew, there was really nobody in the office. There was no reason to be. We could all work from home, right? A bunch of accountants, what the hell do they need to be together for? And one of the managing partners saw me walk in one day because I had to be there for whatever reason, even though the office was empty. And I was wearing shorts and flip-flops because I sat in my office for 9 hours a day, just basically on standby in case someone had an issue. I would remote in and fix their stuff, and he told my manager. And I got lectured about dress wear, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, you idiots. I'm like, this place is a ghost town. There's nobody here. You're not having clients come in, and you're going to tell me I can't wear shorts and flip-flops sitting in my office by myself that's not even on the same floor as the rest of the suite. And I remember that vividly being one of the reasons why I resigned. Usually people that get upset about that, I mean, if there's, you know, a public-facing office and, you know, you have to have a certain appearance, I get it, but in situations like that, or in situations where, you know, you don't, I allow shorts and t-shirts and things like that. We have to have, we're pretty lax, but it's like shirt with a collar and, you know, so a polo or something like that, and that's about the only thing we require. There's no dress code per se. We provide some shirts with the logo on them, but they're totally optional. Whoa, look at this a-hole. Good grief, in a hurry this morning? Great, and get this guy road raging here trying to get through. Oh my God, look at this idiot. What a bonehead. All right, anyhow, yeah, but, you know, so in the garage, you know, t-shirts and shorts, you know, are allowed, you know, but it's against, you know, the official policy. But you know what? So what? And you don't have to work out there. The garage has got no air conditioning. You know, and in the summertime, it can get, you know, sweltering. Get out of here. Nobody says anything. The only time anybody ever complains is it's usually somebody that can't get away with it. You know, it's just crying. That's correct. I remember the guy who wore, he always had slacks and a dress shirt on, usually with a jacket, and I don't know, just rung a bell, and it's like, man, what a time, and now I probably abuse it, but I'm awfully casual, but people forget that what I do is not just sit at a desk all day, and there's times where I'm in ceilings, I'm hanging TVs, I'm doing literally anything, door access controls now, So I pushed the envelope there a bit, but, you know, I can't wear collars anymore. That's kind of where I drew the line. I'm like, no, I'm not wearing collars if I'm sticking my head up in a ceiling. So today I've got black jeans on. I wear black jeans almost every day, or khakis on occasion, but almost always black jeans. I got several pair. And, normally I'll wear black tennis shoes, you know, with that, so we're not real strict on that. I have some dress shoes that I sometimes will keep with me, depending on if I figure I've got, or not dress, but not tennis shoes either. But I make sure the tennis shoes don't look like tennis shoes. And, you know, as far as shirts go, like this right now, I've got a sweatshirt with the logo over a t-shirt, but I keep a collared shirt and a jacket with me. And if by some, you know, surprise I gotta go, you know, downtown or something like that, I can real quick throw a shirt with a collar and throw a jacket over it. And that's fine. You know, nobody expects anything more. I mean, I'm a working manager as well. You know, I gotta be out in the field at construction sites and things like that. You know, so, you know, wearing work appropriate gear for that without being swabby is the norm. Contrary to what I said, I think COVID did help lax the dress code at a lot of places. And like you said, you're a working manager. I think the dress code needs to fit the role at hand. So, yeah, you might sit at a desk 90% of the time, but if you have to go get your hands on something, why should you have to ruin your clothes? Yep, no complaints here. We got pretty good. You know, we have a casual Friday thing, you know, where you gotta, if you donate to the casual Friday fund, you can, you know, wear casual Friday clothes, and it doesn't apply to us at all because, hell, what most would consider at our place, you know, Monday through Friday is casual, sometimes at best. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah, COVID changed a lot of things. A lot of people started working from home, and, you know, we swung completely in that direction where everything was from home. And now they're swinging back pretty hard. And, you know, the only thing, but at least we know what we can and can't accomplish remotely. So now when people say, no, you have to be here, we can honestly say, no, we don't really, you know, and we can negotiate a work-from-home type thing. You know, we had a good year to figure out the metrics of, you know, figuring out performance and you know, whatnot, what works and what doesn't, like it or not. So I think it was really good for that, because I think a lot of things, you know, have remained work from home that traditionally weren't. I mean, my grandkids are here because of the changes in that. My son-in-law, you know, he's in oil, and you know, so they had to be in Houston. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You got to be in Houston. You know, he's an Aggie. He's a U of M grad, but he's also got his master's from Texas A&M. And, you know, works in Houston, the whole nine yards. That's just how it was. He had to be an Aggie, and he had to work in Houston. Well, that's changed. And now he's here, and he still works in oil. And, you know, so that's pretty cool. He has to fly to, you know, Houston frequently. Matter of fact, he just got back. But, yeah, but at least they can be here, which is cool. And, you know, allows them to find talent anywhere on the globe, really, or anywhere in the country. They don't generally go global, except for their global operations. But I think we're finding our water, our level, with all that. And the people that can are and whatnot. WAW. There's a happy medium of what should be a remote job and what really can't be, or what should be hybrid. And I agree. I don't think everything needs to be 100% in office, but it's tough. Like, for me, I got to touch stuff constantly, so it's not really an option. Same with my old job. I worked from home. I was based out of my house, but still went on the road constantly, which is where ham radio came from, thankfully. So, I don't know. I don't think I could go back to full-time remote. Could you? Not really. I'd want at least 2 to 3 days, you know, in the environment. You know, that, I mean, of course, that depends. You know, is everybody in the environment at the same time? Because, you know, I find that there's a lot of value in that, having everybody available, you know, where you just walk to their office or see them face-to-face. A lot more gets accomplished and a lot more, I think, gets figured out, you know, when you have those face-to-face, you know, or even chance meetups. Oh, hey, well, I got you, or something like that, or let's go grab some lunch, or any number of, you know, things, just little things that took place in the work environment. I think you really miss that. So, you know, I mean, if I was coming in on Mondays, you know, and Wednesdays, and, you know, and then, you know, the other, you know, people were coming in on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and, you know, and then another one was shifting Wednesdays, Fridays, or something like that. You know, we had some sort of thing like that where you had just a couple of people. I think you'd kind of miss out on a lot of what I'm talking about. But, I think a hybrid thing, you know, maybe a couple, 3 days, you know, and a couple days out. But most of the time when they're doing it, they're shifting it, you know, so like half are in on, you know, Tuesday and a half are out, and vice versa, and all that. So I guess in a more production, you know, kind of a thing, well, that's a hard one to remote, but I should say in, like, our clerk's office was just a bunch of bodies, you know, and you had to go downtown for everything. One thing good that came out of all this was they do almost everything online now, and unfortunately, they don't really need the bodies, you know, like they used to. You know, they're still mostly there doing stuff, but they're not rehiring, you know, so they just don't need a lot of clerks sitting in the wait on people, you know, that come into the main building. So everything's being done remotely now.
NADDF. I agree with that. I think the collaboration aspect is almost entirely lost, at least the authenticity of it. Yeah, you know, you can get on a Zoom call and discuss something, but is anyone really paying attention versus when you're face-to-face? And I'm not complaining about anything that's been switched online. I'm one of those people, and it's not because I don't want to talk to people. It's because I don't have time to do things that are just unnecessary, like go to the clerk's office to renew my CDL. So I'm very thankful that's an option now.
My son just got his notification and he's got to renew his. Funny you said that. I mean, it literally just came in. But anyhow, you know, those are the kind of things that everyone wants. You know, nobody wants to have to go someplace for, like, you know, forms, or you got to pay a fee, or you got to, you know, look something up, or you need a record, or, you know, there's just no reason to waste your time and your gas and wear and tear on your vehicle and time off work perhaps, or no purpose for it. Just move all that stuff online. And, you know, and then, you know, that kind of stuff is absolutely should be online. And, you know, you don't really need clerks to do it. You know, this ain't the day when they got to go back to the Rolodex and, you know, find your information in a, you know, in another room where a bunch of filing cabinets are. Those days are gone. So maybe those people can transition over to, you know, scanning documents in or something.
Going through the cleaner, but correct. I think we've become more efficient being in the age of technology, and we can get rid of a lot of that stuff. I don't even know if I'm making it out, so I'm clear. Hold on.
Can't popcorn-y, but hear it all.
Speaking of popcorn, take a break. Like, did you track down your 2 meter noise floor?
Spot there. W-A-W.
Double with you there for a sec, my bad. N-A-T-D-F.
Oh, I just said take a break. And and let you get through your crater, but it sounds like you're through it. Yep, just that annoying half mile just gets weird. I said, speaking of popcorn, did you ever track down your 2-meter noise floor? I thought it might be a couple of things, so I tried them. These are all things that are new since I last was on. And it wasn't any of those things. I thought maybe it could be my, you know, it could be my T-Mobile router, it could be my, new Asus router, or a couple other odds and ends. I'm not sure I covered everything that, you know, is new since last time I was actively on, but it wasn't any of those, so I've got to do a bigger, a bigger kill. I was expecting, you know, it's like, I'll probably lose power at some point. I'll just have to remember to grab the 705. The problem with when I lose power, chances are the whole neighborhood loses power, so, you know, the problem is going to be gone, and it doesn't necessarily mean it was my house, because it could be my neighbor's bill. So I really pretty much got to go kill my power myself. It's a pain in the ass. I'm not looking forward to doing that, but I got to do it. Yeah, it's a huge pain. You got to reset all your clocks, and yeah, I know what you mean. You got to run around the house with no power, no lights. My old house, I couldn't remember. I think it was the 20 and 40 with my 7300. There were points in the day where the radio was unusable, and I could not for the life of me figure it out. And I never did, but I remember chasing it. It drove me batty because I killed everything. I'd unplug stuff. It was just like a never-ending cycle of, it's this, it's this, it's this, and it never was anything. And I remember that, man. It sucked. Like, points in the day when I had time, I sit down, fire up the 7300, and it would just look like a electrical storm on my scope. And I'm like, well, not playing radio right now. And never did find out what that was. Yeah, this one's really weird because it's just like a raised noise floor. There's nothing I can see. Like, I know I've got a, pulse width motor in my, I've got a high efficiency furnace and it has a PWM motor, and I can see little spikes up and down the band when that's on. And they're not bad. I can deal with them. They don't really hurt me at all. You know, would I like them to be gone? Sure, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. This is different. This is just like the noise floor is through the roof. There's no particular noise and that I can put my finger on. And hold on, I got to order my Starbucks here. One sec. All right, order in. Just got to pull up and pay. Oh, look at that. I'm in the next car. I better get my phone out. I'll be right back. Okay, ready to go. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, this noise floor is weird. It's like it just, that's all what it does. It just raises the noise floor, and it's everywhere, you know. And I don't see anything in particular, except for just this extremely raised noise floor. And you're either above it or you're not, and it's just weird. So, I don't know. I'm not going to go killing the power of the house, you know. I'm tempting fate doing it when it's, you know, these temperatures. So, I'm probably going to just suffer through the winter with it, unless the power goes out on its own. I had my HackRF plugged into my computer yesterday with SDR. Was an SDR console running because I was trying to find I've got a Keurig Supreme K Plus or whatever. Well, hold on, Siri just turned on. God, I hate that crap. And it's supposed to be able to connect to an app, and it doesn't. So I tried messing with it, and my wife's like, it's our network, it's this, it's that. I'm like, no, it's not. And I finally proved to her that it's not broadcasting an SSID anymore. So reach out to Keurig and tell them it's their problem. I gotta take this. I'll be right back. NADBF. So, available, you hit a few.
Hey, Sean, how's it going? This is K-A-A-U-H-T.
Good, Steve. Sorry about that. I was just paying for my coffee. Take care. Just paying for my coffee there. How you been? You staying warm?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. It is cold, though. It does get cold out. That's for sure after it got the snow. My neighbor was supposed to, I got my dad's snowblower. He's supposed to clear the wasps and so it's like, then it froze up. Like, I got home, hey, what happened, you know? Well, this and that. Anyway, other than that, it's okay.
84 is ZYQ.
Well, that's good to hear. I haven't heard you in a while, so good to hear everything's going okay and you're staying warm. That's what counts right about now. Good morning, Joe. How you doing? You staying warm?
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Sean. Yeah, I'm staying indoors, retired. But I have to mention something there, Sean. When you talked about a high noise floor, not knowing what it is, I've gotten that over and over again, and it's not regular or any length of time, per se, which I haven't timed it literally. But I'll get something where somebody's running something in the neighborhood or nearby, and it's just tearing up my radio on any band or any frequency almost. And it's got to be something. It's not my furnace or anything, like you said. It's got to be somebody running a dough mixer or a blender or some nuclear power plant or something nearby. But it doesn't happen every day or at the same time or the same length. So there you go. Over to you, Steve. And good morning again.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Yeah, it's like the other guy said, I know the Keurig, when they have it plugged in, there is a and an AM band and some stuff, you know, radio. Yeah, I know the Keurig does provide some, you know, noise of some sort, because I know when I pull up in the driveway, the AM on, it'll pick up. But probably a weed growing operation, Joe. That's, you probably got people growing weed. What do you think there, Sean?
Dakota's back in the after this one, but yeah, that's if you got people growing weed, which is real popular these days, you know, the grow lights are really bad. I'm pretty sure I don't have that going on where I'm. Well, I can't be 100% sure. The couple across the street and one house over may, but nobody else in my neighborhood, at least near enough for it to be a problem. Chris, there's that new house on the corner. I don't know who's there. But I don't think it's the grow light thing. And Keurig, yeah, I had a Keurig machine. It was one of the ones like Dakota describes. No, actually, it was before that one. But that thing tore me up. When I finally figured it out, I got rid of it. Now, here's the weird thing is I gave it to a friend of mine, and he's a ham, and he said he never had a problem with it. And it was night and day. I mean, just plug it in, watch the noise floor pop up, unplug it, watch it go away. I absolutely, positively verified that Keurig was tearing up my band, my HF, and he said he never saw any such thing at his house. So, weird. But I got a couple more Keurigs since then, and they haven't, first thing I checked with this noise floor was whether it was a Keurig, and it wasn't. So, I ruled that out. Dakota, are you back? Otherwise, send it to Joe.
It seems like he's not there yet, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, that's strange, Sean. That it wouldn't do it at his house, but did it at your house. So must have been circuitry or something, but then your new one didn't do it either. So, hey, go figure. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, maybe it's some kind of grounding, you know, of some sort or another. If that's the case, the only thing I think was like some kind of ground, you know, whatever it uses for the, you know, the poles on the electrical system, maybe. You know, people are, over the years, going to radio club meetings and stuff, you know, people come in and, you know, talk about all kinds of groaning messes and this and that and other things, but that's the only thing I can think of. But definitely, yep, remember people in the neighborhood just grow stuff and there's stuff to see, there's thing when they're bud, and you know it's, and the whole, there's a whole, you know, whole science to it, and, you know, that's why sometimes you might hear worse noise with the grow operation, because it depends what phase they're in, if it makes a difference. Sean?
Yeah, I just wrote it off as, who knows, maybe in all the jostling around, I bumped something, and it, and that's what did it, but, anyhow, I am pulling up here at the gas pumps. I gotta fill up and then park and get inside. So I'm gonna make this my last, for now at least. I don't know if Dakota's back or not, but you guys take care, stay warm. W8FU.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, leave a little space in case you jump back in. Well, Sean, you have a good day. Safe travels. And stay warm as you can, being out and about. Over to you, Steve.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure if Sean got a standard Starbucks order, yeah, it'd be supercharged here in very shortly. And, I think this Thursday is the Macomb County APRC meeting, and I think having a little party get-together is a part of it, I think. I remember right, so I guess I'll plan to go to that. I did see at an event last night. I just see the lady at the head of the freight thing, and she's gonna put me on the. We couldn't get together for the other stuff, but put me on the agenda for January. So she's still hoping to get that cash for radio. Okay, 7-3 Sean, and if Dakota's out there taking care of his business. Otherwise, over to you, Joe.
Yes, Steve, KE4ZYQ. Well, talking about gatherings in the wintertime, I can't get out too good. They're too easy with health and everything during the wintertime. But, boy, I tell you, when spring and summer comes and they got activities or meetings or gatherings or lark in the park or whatever, I hope I can get out and make up for the wintertime caveman life. Get out of the home QTH and get out and do some things. Get some fresh air. But I get out periodically, just not a lot like I do in the summer. Back to you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I think it's not too far from your CTH. I think the Macomb Intermediate School District building up there on Garfield, I think it's kind of up close to your CTH.
Yep, you're right on that. I just never been there. Don't know what. I think it's on the second floor, I think. Maybe they said it's the first floor. But, I got to figure out how far you got to walk and where you got to park and temperatures and all that. It's hard walking in the wintertime with slippery snow and ice when you're walking with crutches. You got to have an assistive device. So, slipping's one thing when you're walking normally, but walking with an assistive device kind of increases the possibility, as you can imagine, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think if we're meeting still on the first, it's rare that we're on the second floor, but we're on the first floor, just like there's handicapped parking and all that. And it's a modern, very modern building, and handicapped parking is right there. And it's, you even have a covered section that comes out a bit. You know, it's automatic doors, and you just kind of go to the left. It's not that far. And there's actually a couple of hams that they have, walking assistants and stuff that show up regularly. So, but it's a very modern building, and you know, as you say, a lot of these school districts they try to be very progressive. So it's pretty accessible for most people, I believe.
Well, Steve, if you don't mind, I'm on QRZ email. If you know or can get an internet picture of where the building is on the property and where the entrance approximately is, just, you know, you don't have to be very detailed, but, I mean, close enough. If you're able to do that without too much trouble, I can't remember, when is that thing coming up, this week or next weekend, or I don't even remember when it's scheduled. Back to you.
I believe Thursday at 7 p.m. Yeah, it's at the entrance that we're going is on the south side of the building. I don't know if you got figured out there. You've probably seen the building. You'd be up there in Garfield. You know where all those school buses are? Just past that. And you see those yellow school buses and such on the west side of the west side of Garfield.
So that I know where the buildings or the buildings are, the location land, but there's more than one set of buildings, and you know, you don't know if you're on the south side, the north side, the east side, the west side, in which building. I could be there for hours trying to figure out where the entrance to the exact building is. I have no idea because I've never been there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Yeah, you just come in and and it's been the south, like, so you're probably coming from the south. Yeah, just come in Starfield, just, you know, it's not the spot where they have maintained the school buses. And it's a big building, I think it's, what, 2-3 floors, I can't remember. And it's a nice big entranceway, you know, it's designed for conferences and meeting, you know, it's very modern. And always things are salted and everything else. You know, it's one of those places. So and even the courtyard is there. They even have a spot where donation. You know, the coffee maker is always there. You know, it's a hot chocolate, whatever. You know, it's like you know. Anyway, I think it's pretty easy accessible. You know, and I can say the south side. I think there's only one. And so, anyways, it's all very handicap accessible.
KFA DBZ break.
Yeah, go ahead for the breakers.
Zulu. Joe, specifically the MA building, as the gentleman was saying, is a very, very accessible. South of the Macomb County Community College Center campus, and you come in through the south entrance. There's plenty of handicap parking available, and the doors are so automated that they open automatically when you're like 15 feet away. And then you just go through the doors and hang a left, and the room is of number 103. I think it's the first one on the left down the hallway as soon as you get through the door. It's really easy to get at. And very easy to find. It doesn't matter which way you're coming from. You know, if you're coming south, basically, as the gentleman said, if you pass the school buses, you went too far. If you're coming north, passing the school buses, that tells you that it's getting close. It's like it's a two-story building, and it is. It's easy to spot and easy to get into. Back over to whoever's next.
Yeah, KE4CYQ. Well, I'm looking at Google Earth right now. And if you're on Hall Road heading east, turn right onto Garfield. There's three driveways. And I doubt it's the first driveway. It's more like the second or third driveway, probably the second driveway. And then you would turn in there and then see whatever building you're talking about. And they have the buildings numbered or named, do they?
Now, that I don't remember. I do know that it's not part of Macomb Community College, okay? It's the MASD building. So it is south of the campus. I can tell you that for sure.
lady. Well, I'll look it up and do some investigating here on the internet. And they should have the building somewhat listed. I can go on there and do a street view or a whatever. You know, I'm known for doing investigation on the internet. But I appreciate that. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Yeah, it's just like a home intermediate school district building and the ISD and Macomb County ISD and like the other guy was saying too. It is very true. Yeah, the doors will open up, you know, like you're way ahead. So it always feels very handicap accessible, very progressive. And see modern building and all, so yeah, when you hang a left, you might have to pass. You can pass the elevators, and then there's the classroom. So even if you're, it was on the second floor, elevators are, like, right there, too. So very simple accessibility. And, of course, if you look around, usually depends what time you get there. Usually have to get there late because I have a music practice. So this is, like, the first part of the meeting type of thing. So I come for the second half. When they have these practices, and you can see the vehicles with ham antennas, or some people have those placards for the side of their vehicles. So I guess it's the whatever ones you see the MC ATRSB type of plaque on their vehicles too. A few will have that. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ, that last key up was not me. Somebody was keying up there. I'm seeing the intermediate school district, and then the buses were south of that, and the parking lot between the buses and the building. So I kind of have an idea, and I didn't catch the name of the other gentleman there. He may have said it, but I'm still waking up, too, even though I'm retired. So sometimes that is an excuse, being retired. But, I think I see the building now on the Internet. So back to that other fellow there. Forgive me if I didn't get your call sign written down. KE4ZYQ.
That's all right, Joe. My name is Cliff, and we've spoken a few times before. But, yeah, basically, if you came east on Hall Road and turned right and went south on Garfield, yeah, you would just turn right into the driveway that's at the south end of the building, and then you turn left into your parking spot. And after that, it's that easy to get at.
Yep, QSO that. Yeah, I kind of know now. Yep, sounds good. Well, anyhow, Phyllis and Cliff, thanks for jumping in there and explaining it so I can look more and get used to where it is. At least I know. Now we'll see what happens come Thursday with health and otherwise. I take it day by day. You'll learn when you get up in years, some of it. I think Steve's a little younger than me, but when you get up in years and get farther down the road, you take it day by day, sometimes hour by hour, but you never know. Over to you, Steve, and I'll sign off and listen out. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, okay, Joe. Yeah, nice to hear you in there, Cliff, too. And we've talked before. And it's been a bit, but I would think, you know, if you get out, it's probably no more, as far as, if you're going to market, it's probably less. That is certainly, not easier than going into the market or anything like that. Very easy. And a good group of guys. I haven't seen any ladies, lately, but a good group. You know, you see, good fellowship and all. Everyone's very, very welcoming. And presentations are good, and all that. And audio, video, and type of stuff. Last meeting, You know, they even had the microphones and all that. They passed around for questions and all. So I think we get around, what, somewhere around 25 people maybe at the meeting. Desks and all that. So easy to mark out your spot there and take it all in. Okay, 73 Cliff, 73 Joe, and maybe we'll see you on Thursday. Take care. This is KAAUHC.
One last thing, Steve. What was the time of that meeting, KE4ZYQ?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. And there's they have a website out there too with the events. 7 p.m.
QSL that. Got that. Thanks. And I'm wondering, is Cliff going to be there?
I am absolutely planning on. Absolutely planning on it. They're suggesting that if you bring anything at all, because this is a very family-friendly event, it's supposed to be a holiday get-together more than anything else. The only business they're going to conduct is sign-offs on steps through, like, level 1 and level 2 for D2. We're all being told, bring your partners, bring your kids. It's a little holiday get-together. If you want to bring snacks, bring, like, cookies or something like that. And I don't have much else on that, other than the fact that I am definitely going to be there because I already made a cake and cookies for this. That means you got to come because you got to taste all my goodies. KF8DPZ, 73's gentlemen, I'm clear after your finals.
Well, Cliff, I got to warn you and Steve both, if I show up, which I don't know if I am, but I take it day by day, as I say. I'm much handsomer on radio than I am in person, so not that I'm trying to show off anything or impress anybody, but, yeah, you know, sometimes the voices don't necessarily go with the pictures in your head. K4ZYQ, 73, now listen out.
Yeah, okay there, Joey on 73 Cliff, and, yep, I think that's the way most of it is, see? Space for radios, I think it's pretty the common thing. 73, this is KAAUHK.
KEATFM.
What's going on?
Not too much. Yeah, how you doing this morning? I'm driving to Livonia. Got to go into the office this morning, so I'm going to try a new route. I'm just going to take Shaner to 8 Mile and 8 Mile up and see if that's better than all the chaos I drive through. And once I drop off stuff there, I got to go to Southfield. I got to take a customer out to lunch, and then I'll shoot back over here to my side of town. So a little bit of a busy day running around. Won't get a lot done, but there'll be a lot of running around.
Oh, I feel you. I'm heading out to Taylor this morning, and then we'll go from there. I got to drop off some paperwork for my wife in Troy. We'll see how long that takes me.
Yeah, this whole week's actually pretty busy. I got to drive somewhere, today, Tuesday, Thursday, possibly Wednesday. Basically, with all my customers at work, I'm trying to fit in a holiday lunch with everybody. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the order. So it'll be busy right up to the end. Still don't got all my Christmas shopping done either, so I actually got a lot of stuff I got to get done this week. And yeah, but like I do every year, somehow it'll all get done.
Yeah, my wife does all that. I just tell her how much she can spend, and then she just does it. But my kids are grown, so... My son moved out over a year ago, so he's got his own little family going there. But I'll send him a card with some money in it or something like that. And then my daughter, the same way, only here maybe 2 or 3 days a week. She spends most of her time. And her boyfriend's down in Richmond, so. And then we'll see how it goes. I'm off on Thursday. I got some lawyer appointment for my mother-in-law, who's been put into a nursing home, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, busy week.
Yeah, I'm still going to try to make one of these nets this week. I had had a little surprise come up. I had on Thursday, right before net time, I got a call from my mom. We had to take my dad into the hospital. His looks like his blood pressure and heart arrhythmia was getting a little bit out of whack, so we had to go take care of that. So that was, but it's all going good. Looks like everything's kind of settling out. He'll be coming home either today or tomorrow, so that's good. Looks like he's through the worst of it, so. But I'm going to try this Thursday to make it. We'll see if I'm able to get there or not.
Yeah, if you can, just bring a thing of cookies. You know, it's more or less a get-together, meet-and-greet kind of thing. You know, I'm not going to have any turkey or anything like that, you know, because I only have the room for a couple hours, but, you know, cookies and juice and, you know, milk, of course, you know, because you got to have milk with cookies kind of thing. You know, it's just like a little get-together instead of having our regular meeting. But yeah, you didn't show up there. If not, just bring a body.
How many people are usually there? What kind of turnout do you get?
Well, we have 31 active members, and I think probably about a better majority of them show up, if not all the active members, you know, if they can. You know, because, of course, you know, work and different schedules and stuff like that. So, but there's usually a good amount of people. You know, bring yourself, bring your wife. I mean, it's just going to be a meet and greet. You know, Dave is bringing his wife and kids. I'm sure that Wally's bringing his. Tim will be there. You know, anybody with a better half or, you know, a little Rugrats will all be there. Let's see if my daughter wants to show up. She's already been the one at the breakfast, so she knows a couple people. KCKG04I, identification.
Yeah, definitely my wife won't, because she'll be at karate with my youngest, so she'll be doing that. And then, what time does the meeting start and end again?
It starts at 7 o'clock, and we're usually done by 9-ish, and then with some stragglers like me that we hang around till about 9:30 kind of thing, you know, because we talk outside the meeting, but since this is a meeting but not a meeting, it's a meet and greet. You know, just a social gathering, and you know, probably about, you know, usually a couple hours, 7 to 9, usually.
All right, yeah, that'll work out perfect. Cause if I get there at 7, I'll have to leave by 8 for my son's hockey practice from 9:15 to 10:30. So. Yeah, so I think 7-8, that'll actually work out perfect. So as long as no surprises happen, we'll see. So, yeah, outside of that, I am a little bit sad, though. With all the cold weather and the ice forming on the lake, I really thought I'd be ice fishing, and now it looks like we're getting that warm-up. So looks like our ice fishing's going to be pushed out a couple more weeks. my sons are a little bit bummed out over that. KEA-TFM.
I tried ice fishing when I was, you know, in my teens. I did it once. I'll never do it again.
Yeah, if you have a shanty, it makes a world of difference. So we got a couple shanties that we put up when we go out. So got a little buddy heater. I even brought my 705 out on the ice last year. So. The boys were fishing. I was playing with that a little bit. So, but no, I have a lot of good memories ice fishing. I used to do it all the time with my grandpa.
you know, and then as we got older, before he passed away, we'd go out on Higgins Lake, and my cousins would come up. We'd be out on the ice all day, consume a lot of whiskey and beer, and it was just a good time, a lot of good memories. So between Christmas and New Year's, my sons and I were going to drive up to the UP. All my cousins who I used to ice fish with when we were young, you know, with my grandpa, were going to go drive up there and go fish with them over on the Lake Superior waters in the Keweenaw. So that's the plan anyway. We'll see if the weather cooperates.
I never went ice fishing with my dad. I went regular fishing with my dad. But when I was younger, I mean, I was mostly in the trains. Trains. So that was a big activity that me and my dad and on occasion my younger brother would do. I went ice fishing with a neighborhood friend and his brother. And I was out there on Anchor Bay, and big old crack came right across the lake and went right between my legs. I said, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah, those cracks will wake you up. I remember on Higgins Lake and that being out there fishing, and you just hear those cracks shoot all the way across the lake. It was crazy. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That'll wake you up. Yeah, I'm generally not in too big of a hurry to get out on the lake. I take my time. I wait till the ice is safe before I even venture out there. You know, the last thing I want is, you know, me or one of the kids falling through and something stupid happening. So, yeah, until it's like 5 to 8 inches, you won't get me out there.
Yeah, you won't catch me out there. Ever, never, 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 never. And it's not, you know, it's a neat activity, you know, during the summer. I said, but I got so many other things that I do. You know, got all my radios, so, I mean, that's my new hobby. I can't do trades. My dad passed away. I don't have any room to put anything up permanently kind of thing. Plus with the dogs and the cats, we'll just knock it all over if I even remotely did something small. So I had to keep myself occupied with other stuff, I guess you could say. And, with your dad, with the whole BT and stuff like that, I know where you're coming from on that. And my kids don't, because that happened to me earlier this year. Yeah, it's not a fun time.
Yeah, I'm watching my dad, and I'm at that age where it's like, man, I gotta make some changes here because I'm running out of time to do so. I'm gonna be on the path with him, but yeah, luckily I never smoked or anything, so I think so I got a leg up there.
Yeah, but now I do the vapes. I'm not talking about those ones where you see somebody standing in a cloud of vapor. Just these little ones. That's my only, whatever you want to call it, crutch. I don't drink anymore. I drink decaf coffee because of the scare. I lost some weight. Actually brought my cholesterol down and my blood pressure down. Still got the arrhythmia thing going on here and there, which is annoying. You know, besides that, I'm on the road that I need to be on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drink something once in a great while. Coffee is a bad habit for me, but I got to take some weight off. That's the big thing. I gotta need to lose about 10, and then I'll be in a whole lot better shape. But yeah, the drinking, smoking, not doing those things, that's definitely a big help for sure. So yeah, the arrhythmia is no fun because they gotta like put them under anesthesia and then zap them, and that kind of straightened everything out. So I think that's good. But he's older, so he's 76. So right now it's kind of like maintenance, I would say, than anything. Between the diabetes and that, there's not a lot he can do to improve things. It's more he's just got to kind of stay where he's at, you know.
Pre-diabetic, I brought that down, so I'm at 5.4 now. I was at like 5.8. 5.6. So, did pretty good there. Lost like 20 pounds. I went from 195 down to 175 and maintained that weight. Brought my cholesterol down below 200. The arrhythmia I got, it's called atrial tachycardia. It's a version of SVT, which my daughter has. So, like I said, it's not life-threatening. It's just annoying so far. I don't need to go in there and zap it, but the meds, I'm still giving them a chance, but so far, not too good.
That's good, taking off 20 pounds and keeping it off. That's the hard part. I mean, I was down 2 years ago, the lightest I've ever been at 190, and now I'm 210, so I got to get this 20 off. I definitely got to do that.
Well, because of the scare I had, it was my coworker that took me in the ER and saw how many, you know, what I was going through. He goes, dude, I don't want to be like that. And he has now lost 30-some-odd pounds. And, when we, you know, we work together every day, you know, or most days. And instead of sitting around or whatever, we'll walk. If we're standing out front, it's a decent day. We'll walk around the building. I mean, last week we were in an office building in downtown Lansing, waiting for somebody to call us back, and it was an intern. I mean, all the suites were around the exterior of the building, so we had this big, huge loop around with the center elevator bay, and we did like 5,000 steps, you know, going back and forth and everything else like that, so make use of the time.
That's good to do. Yeah, I mean, really what ruined it for my health and weight and activity just in general is working from home. I mean, that has, like, because when I was in the office, I mean, especially, like, during COVID times and then in the summer, you know, I'd walk every single day, you know, so I was in really good shape. I was on Whitcomb and DeQuinders where I was working at the time, and I'd walk over to John R. Hill there behind the fire station, and I'd walk into that park, I'd do 40 push-ups, do the walk, come out of the park, 40 push-ups, and back to the office, and I did that, you know, for like a whole year straight, and I was in awesome shape, but man, you stop, and it's like back to square one. KEA, TFM, a break for a second, just in case anyone else wants to jump in.
Man, I'll tell you what. COVID, lockdown, I was never healthier when I was in high school. I miss those days.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. No, I'm sitting here laughing. I've been listening to you guys, but same thing. I was biking, I was running, I was walking. I was down to like 155 pounds at one point. Like, I haven't been that healthy since high school, and it was all because I had all that time to get that in, you know, and, you know, of course, I was working all day, but it's kind of worth it, and, you know, never felt better.
All right, time for another pandemic. Yeah, I was, same thing. It was, yeah, when I look at it, that was the healthiest that I was, because it's like it forced everybody to just slow down and do something different. I mean, that was, at least for me, that was kind of the positive behind it, you know, was kind of forced you into some kind of action and to get outside. So despite all the bad, it was like, at least for me, same thing as you, I was in really good shape during that time.
Constantly working in the pandemic because I was listed as an essential worker. I mean, I picked up a lot of area because of it. But yeah, I was doing installations here and there. I was climbing ladders, you know, walking with cable or whatever else, just staying busy. I never stayed at home for anything. And just my job alone is physical on occasion. But I've been taking a lot of stairs lately. Going up a couple flights and walking down a couple flights, and it sure helps. I said, but after the scare, you know, that's what made me change everything. Besides that, you know, before that I was eating a crap ton of donuts and junk food, and now I don't even eat fast food because it makes me sick. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, I really got to pay attention to work here. I just couldn't help but comment on that. Davian was saying about being fit and exercising during the pandemic. That was same here. I keep trying to figure out a way to slip that in now. Like, I could run down to the Planet Fitness down in the corner here, get a half hour in at lunchtime every day, but just ain't the same. So, all right, I do got to get to work here, though. So you guys take care. Stay warm. Drive safe. W8FU.
All right. Take it easy, Sean. Nice hearing from you. Yeah. So let's see. So yeah, the traffic over here is terrible. 12 and Shaner, it's like all locked up. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but looks like it opens up afterwards. So yeah, I decided the roads look okay. I'm gonna do the experiment run and just take Shaner to 8 Mile and 8 Mile over to Livonia, over to Grand River. See how that goes over the expressways and the traffic and all the noise.
You hit 8 Mile at a good pace. You can pretty much get through the lights because I've done that. I've left Livonia and driven all the way down 8 Mile to 75. Then I didn't want to deal with the 696. You know, and all the construction in there. Even when I worked at Metro Airport, I get off of work at, you know, at 4 o'clock, 4:30, I'm like, I'm not going down 94, it's going to take me forever. So I'd shoot down Middle Belt all the way into Pontiac. And it went a lot faster than expected.
Yeah, the trick is kind of figuring out the cadence of all the lights. So... I'll probably, it's been a minute since I've driven this way, but I usually find, you know, it all takes about the same amount of time. But it's less stressful because it's more predictable movement, so yeah. I think I got to find a place, though, to definitely got to get a coffee. So I'm going to do that here. I'm going to stop at the... at 9 Mile in Shaner, probably. I'm gonna stop there and get a coffee. So yeah, I'm gonna be wrapping it up here. So I'll be clear on your final, and I'm gonna go get me a coffee, and then I'll be back on a little bit later here, probably about 10-15 minutes after a phone call.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that Java. Mine's kick-ass, so I just like the taste. Everybody figure, you know. No more caffeine. Or once in a while. All right, well, enjoy your drive. I got another almost an hour before I get to where I got to go. So I'm going to be south of you at, like, Telegraph and Eureka. Talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy. KE8TFM, I'll be clear for now.
Yeah, the or something that they said, but too many too many repeaters, not enough time.
Isn't that how it always goes?
Yep. It always takes longer than you think, too.
So what, you're one of the administrators, I guess, of both towers, or you're just an assistant?
Yeah, I do what they tell me. I help out where I can.
Oh, understandable. That's what I do. You know, I do what they need me to do, except climb a tower. Or go on a roof all the way up.
Yeah, I haven't climbed a tower more than, 10, 20 feet yet. I'm not sure how I'm doing it or not. I'm usually fine with heights, but that's a whole different animal. The only time I felt that easy is when I was at one of our plants, and they had the conveyors up in the rafters, and walking on the grates there, you step and you expect solid ground, and you sink a couple inches, and you're standing over a chicken wire and over robots.
Yeah, if it's sealed around me, I can walk through it anyway, as long as I can't see all the way down. That way it doesn't trigger my vertigo. I used to do that at Metro. I walk up in the gangways up above, whatever you want to call it, the customs area, the walkways and stuff. There's a whole area up there. Or up in the bank belt area. I've been around there. But that's about it. I do have one account where I have an access panel up in this room that's on top of a plastic injection machine. And that's all that metal grating. I know it's strong, but my brain says, no, I'm going to fall.
Yeah, I think that's what that was. Just, not only are you going to fall through, you're going to fall into something that's going to kill you, That machine that doesn't care that you're there.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
I don't know if I would mind climbing a tower or not. I know they do sway a little in the winds. Could get halfway up and freeze up,
And they're done that also. Yeah, that's not fun. Working with another coworker, and we were doing a gate contact. I like this big wide open delivery gate at a home improvement store. And the extension that I strapped on was, dude, it's only 10, 15 feet. I'm like, yeah. Went up there. And it moved. I'm like, nope, keep coming down. I basically wrapped myself around the ladder. I would not move until he screamed and said, either you can come down on your own accord, or I'm going to come up there and drag you down. And I'm like, I'm not moving. And then he started coming up, and I said, okay, I'm moving. And I just slid down the ladder. Didn't even stop. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, that was the thing when I was up on that grate. It was like, you look straight ahead and you'd be fine. It's when you start looking down, it's like, but it's kind of, you gotta get used to it.
The crazy thing is, I worked in the plastic shop before I started, with this job, and I was a die setter, and I would, back then, you didn't really pay much attention to a lot of safety, but you did. But I had to clean up the hoppers, change dyes and material, and I bring the high low over with a pallet, and I bring it up just to the right height, shut it off, lock out the high low. Then I climb on top of the high low, on top of the pallet, and sit there and clean everything out. And then I fell, and everything changed.
Yeah, the summer job doing, I was running three machines, and you're going to bounce between the machines, sort the parts, and then go to the next machine, and we change the molds, that'd help them out, but we pretty much run the same material, so we didn't have to change them out too much. But, it was kind of neat. The one guy, he was missing a few digits because he was setting the mold and told it to close, but then his finger was still in there.
No, I used to use the mold, I did everything, I moved the mold, take it out, I shut the machine down, take it out, go and set it down in the mold area, then pick up another one, bring it over there, set it down, do the crane, break the bar, I did it all, and I was always safe on that, because I know what those things can do. No, what happened was, is when I fell in the back of my delivery truck, and that's what kind of triggered a bunch of stuff.
Yep. It was not too bad running smaller machines. I went to one supplier and a few years ago, one of our plastic suppliers had this job, and they had the biggest molder I've ever seen, the rods that the slide is on, and they were probably a good 12 inches around, and they would, open the door, somebody would climb in the mold and pull the part out, and then close the door and run another cycle. It was like, man, that's a heck of a death machine to be walking into.
Yeah, mine was plastic parts, and, I had a button that the pins would push the part out, and I would just grab it. I would never climb in the machine. I wouldn't go past that door at all. No, thank you.
Yeah, most of the suppliers I've been to, they have a little robotic arm that goes in there, grabs the part out, and then throws it on a conveyor. We were running, they were doing small stuff, so we were... The machines I was running, they would open the mold, and the ejector pins would fire and drop onto a little ramp that would just slide them out to the outside. So, nothing fancy like that. None of them were hot runner or anything. You just, you'd have to pull them off the gate and everything.
And one machine that did the door handles, for a manual window. But this was like in the early 90s. I'd do that one. I did another one that did the door trim pieces for Chryslers. I did the plastic gas inserts. That one wasn't too bad. That thing ran hot, though. I didn't have the trays like you. I just lean in there, grab it, break off the flash and everything else. This guy thinks he's going to get ahead of me, but he said was mistaken. Can't take it, Jeff.
Hey, B1. We were doing, the whole shop was, they did tooling for in paint shops, they don't have the door hinges or the latches or anything on the doors yet, so they make little tools so that the robots can open the lift gate or hold the doors shut, and then you can open them up to paint in there. So we were doing, specialized tooling to help painting the bodies.
Yeah, mine was just a little, rinky-dinky little sweatshop, I guess you can say, that did plastic, injection molding, ABS, and acetone, and shiny plastic. That's no. That's about all I did. But I've been in different manufacturing plants, and I just got some weird stuff in there.
Okay.
There's actually one plate I've been to with a coworker, and they make not energy drinks. I gotta think. But it's powdered citric acid, and just the dust accumulating on my control boxes were rusting them away. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, a little acidic action going on. Yeah, they had three molders, and they had bought a fourth before I stopped working there, but I never had that one running. And they had a few stamping presses, and then they would cut up metal stock and weld it all together. So they were doing all sorts of different things, many different ways to make parts.
And my sister was a leak tester for exhaust manifolds or manifolds at a shop. And that place, I mean, they run quite a few machines. It's a small shop, and they run a lot of equipment. And all you can smell is the oil. It smells nasty, and I have one customer that does the same thing. That's a metal shop, and it just stinks.
Yeah, all the dye lubricants and stuff stink up the place. And you start welding, you know, all that expulsion and stuff too. They definitely stink sometimes.
Yeah, I've been in some pretty gnarly shops in this business that I'm in. Ugh. I'm happy in metal shops that are really clean. I've been in plastic shops, welding shops where they're welding either steel or magnesium. I've been in the ones where they actually got the little metal ingots and then you know, it comes out as a bolt. I mean, it's interesting on the tooling and stuff like that, but I couldn't work on that every day.
And the biggest thing for me was just the mind-numbingness of it. You're just watching the press go up and down, up and down, up and down. Not much thought going in. Definitely some places nastier than others. I haven't been in any like any plating places or anything like that, but I've seen those can be pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got a couple places that do plating and all the chemicals. And, yep, right between, you know, and we got what we call a quad keg. One of the older systems. It was a bus line splitter, you know, for alarm equipment. And it was right between two chemical, you had to walk down the center aisle and to the right and to the left for just all these different types of chemicals. Because they did chrome plating, and it was, you know, just the fumes alone destroy equipment. And I pulled out some pretty nasty stuff where it looked like it was something I had, and then it's like it doesn't look like it anymore. It's all eaten up. So just think of that being in the air.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago there was that green oak who's drooling onto 696 from that plating place. You get some nasty environmental stuff going on there. The other thing is the places that are doing hot work with, you know, casting or heat treatment, working in an oven even, you know. 100
degree
day outside, you go outside to cool off, you know.
Can't see it, can't you? Oh, yeah, metal stamping, you know, casting, and then when I was living in California, I was actually doing electroplating for these hooks or whatever for sailboats. You know, so I learned a little bit about electroplating. That was pretty cool to learn.
One of those processes that sounds like alchemy.
See, it's kind of a neat process. You know, putting it in there, they one color when they come out, they've got their chrome plated or polished. You know, so it was kind of neat, but still it's not something I wanted to do, you know, for the rest of my life kind of thing. I like what I do now, travel and fix electronics and talk on the radio and bug people every day.
Yeah, it's like you, I mean, you get to use your brain too and debug and figure out problems or just sitting there watching a press open and close or go up and down or take this thing and move it over here all day, and that gets old fast.
You pick things up and put them down. Yeah. No, the thing is what I do, you know, sometimes I get a little bit involved, Friday I'm doing, you know, I was doing a conversion for a software installation, and then backing up the old server and bring the data over to the new server. And I was running into little glitches here and there, but I didn't leave there until like 7:30, almost 8 o'clock. My coworker who was off on crisis, why didn't you leave any time? I'm like, I was on a roll. You know, I got it 90% done. You got to go back up and finish the rest of it, make some phone calls, and then it'll be 100% operational, you know, because I built it from the bottom up.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to take the 5 minutes and finish it off than to wrap it up and come back another day and remember where you were and what you needed to do instead of taking an hour where you could just save an extra 5 minutes.
Absolutely. I'm like, well, Marty, this far, I got it, to, you know, but went into one controller and I'm like, all right, let's see, we're going to do a test. The ones right here by me, and they rolled it from the old system over to the new system, and it came online. I'm like, well, I'll be darned. So I did all the other ones that I could do, and I have two older controllers that I have to do through the controller itself and not through a web interface. After I get those two moved over, then the last thing I have to do is actually get the permanent license for it. It's running on a temporary, 90-day temporary. Get the permanent license, and then I'll be 100% done with it, aside from testing all the doors and naming them.
Yeah, that sounds like the way to go. You get time and a half for doing that, too?
Yeah, I get time and a half over a...
Yeah, as long as the boss is happy with it. Good
deal. Well, it's all being installed by a subcontractor. The guy that does, the user does the programming for him. He's off on medical, but he's one of our good subcontractors. We work hand in hand. So the install manager says, hey, can you do this? He's like, sure. You know, I didn't realize that there was no software. I had to download it from the portal. And I also had to put in the server, put it up on the rack, load it up, update it, and get that talking properly so I can install, you know, the SQL Server and all the other prerequisites that come along with it. But I did it. It's running. So I said all I got to do is move over two more controllers, and then that'll be done. Register it. That'll be done. Then I got two client workstations that I have to update. Get them talking over to the main server, and they'll be good to go, and then my reputation stays the way it's been.
Well, there you go. Get it all squared away.
us, but we'll see how it goes. You know, they depend on me on quite a few things. But I got to jump out for a minute. I got to make a phone call. So I'll be back in a bit. Let me think. On your final, KJO.
Alrighty. Go to DMR and come back if you can. Come back in time immediately. Okay, DMR.
W8FU.
Kilo Bravo 8 Whiskey Tango Alpha. This way.
Good morning. How's it going? Where are you at? I'm up here by Traverse City.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm here in Dearborn. Yeah, just leaving work. I see it snowed out since I put my laptop in the car at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I know right where you are. I know right where you are in Dearborn there. My family used to have property in Easter. They had a wholesale greenhouse on Michigan Avenue. So I know the area well.
Yeah, I just came out of World Headquarters. They, the one they're going to take the wrecking ball to.
Oh, come on. Not another nice, beautiful building they want to take an ice. They want to take down. My gosh. Oh, that was always one of my, whenever we go by it, I always look and wonder how many people worked in that building.
Not as many these days. Anyway, they built a new world headquarters across the street from the Henry Ford, the Henry Ford Museum. So, the ashtrays are full, time to take the wrecking ball.
Oh, man, I remember my aunt would take me downtown, and they lived in East, so they lived on Michigan Avenue. They're next to, like, Fire Station and Senior Citizen Complex. It used to be a 7-acre greenhouse at one time, and we'd gone to, like, what was it, Toys R Us, and we'd gone to Hudson's and all that, and go by that place. And my uncle was a member of the Dearborn Country Club at one time. And, I mean, just that area down there was so beautiful.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I kind of lived across the street or around the corner from the country club. I was over there at off of Outer Drive.
Ah, very good, very good. Yeah, they sold the property in 87, and then they moved up here. But, yeah, I still remember going down there and listening, because the trains ran behind the greenhouses. There was the train tracks, and it was just me, and then we'd have the planes going to Detroit Metro there, going overhead. It was just a neat sight to sit there. Boy, are we getting a lot of snow up there in Traverse City today? No, not much. We're going to lose it. If the weather stays right, we're going to lose a lot of our snow maybe this week. I've got maybe, what, 6-7 inches on the ground up here right now. We've hardly had, where I am, I'm up here at the north end of Elk Lake, which is northeast of Traverse, and we've hardly gotten any because of the wind. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's supposed to be, at least down here, it's supposed to be 45 is the high on Wednesday. Yeah, I think we're at 40 up here, which is okay. I'll take it. The other day it was super cold. It was like 15 the other day, and now it's like 26 here. Let's see here. What's my little weather app telling me here? They say we're supposed to get snow, but we're not. Let's see here. We're supposed to get 42 on Thursday, and that'll be our high. But it's supposed to be 36 on Wednesday. Okay, real good. Is it pretty busy up there, or the tour season's kind of all over with? Or the snowmobiles are taking it over? Well, where I am, we don't get the snowmobiles here. Very little. That's over near Gaylord and that. There's some snowmobiles out, and right now it's just they're getting the ski slopes going and stuff. So right now where I am in Elk Rapids, it's just kind of a quiet time of the year. So it's going to be very quiet till springtime. And then it's crazy season up here, we call it. Okay, very good. Well, I'm at my first stop there. Nice to make your acquaintance. I got to go into the store here. KG8HZ. Okay, talk to you later. Kilo Charlie 8 Victor Sierra Uniform, 73.
The real question is, can you prove it?
I don't know how I can prove it, but yeah, let me rev this diesel engine up maybe for you.
I usually just say, well, I'm wearing his underwear.
Yeah, and I'm using a Yaesu FT510 handheld with the armpit tickler.
A Yaesu 510 handheld? I've never heard of that. They got a 510 mobile, right? I thought the mobiles, I thought the handhelds were like the 3, the 5, stuff like that. I don't know. I've got one of their mobiles. FT5, is it?
Yes, yes, FT5, I'm sorry. I have both, actually. I have the 510 and the 5 handheld, but I'm on the handheld now.
Roger, yeah, I have an FT5. I've got and I've got a 500. I don't have a 510. And I like them both.
although I stuck the 200 back in my car. I like that radio a lot. You know, it's very simple. It only does one band at a time, but with that PGM function, it, you know, it's pretty functional. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I've got the 500 at home now, and then I got a 400 in a box. So you know, honestly, there was a lot I liked about the 400 above all of them. But I guess they could no longer get parts, so the 400 went bye-bye.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good things on that 400. I just saw a post on Facebook today that they wish they would bring it back. I don't know. I got the 510, and I absolutely love it. With the digital capability and dual bander, yeah, it's just a great little mobile radio.
Oh, yeah, the speaker in the head, all that stuff. It does a lot of things right. And the 400 was did a few things better, but for the most part, the 500 is a better radio, all in all. All right, anyhow, I'm just pulling up here at the house. I'm going to back in the drive and get inside with my lunch and figure out what the rest of the work day looks like.
Okay, Sean, good talking with you. And, yeah, I'm pulling in my driveway from Sam's Hall, so I got to get all the stuff in the house. W8FUWDKLL, we'll clear.
Alrighty, just got back in. Alright, later. W8FU.
W8KLL, the mobile.
November 8th, X-ray Zulu testing.
W8KLL in the mobile.
W8KLL, was it? How's my signal? I need exit.
Loud and clear. I'm on an HD off the Flint repeater.
Okay, I'm mildly amused because I'm on an HD in my house, and I thought I'm hitting the Renton. I thought 447.6 was a jam machine. I may be mistaken.
Yeah, you're on the FBI network. I'm not sure which repeater you're on, but I'm off the Flint, the 444-6000.
Roger that. Thank you. I got a code plug from a friend, and this is just listed as Warren 7. So I'm trying to decode the code plug, but I'm hitting Flint on HT. This is nice. I like the FBI network. Yeah, this is a Baofeng. I forgot the specifics. It's like a 32 UV. It's a digital analog, and I'm again, a friend gave me a code plug to help me with the myriad digital things that need to be set up in it, but I haven't yet made a digital contact on this one.
Well, very good. You're coming in good on the repeater you're on, so just a little bit of popcorn in the background, but fully readable. WT8KLO.
Oh, fine business, sir. I appreciate you coming back and helping me with figuring this thing out. I keep getting these different HTs because the people I want to talk to have different stuff that I need to talk to them on it. So there's just, I start to climb the learning curve on one unit, and then, oh, no, now there's a different one. Okay, fine. But on the bright side, this radio was like $85, so it's tolerable.
Yeah, Roger, that one. Yeah, you got quite a learning curve on these radios for sure. Remember, I started back in June, and man, I can't believe all the stuff I've learned so far. It's amazing.
One of my friends just got her ticket, and I'm debating getting one of these for her. Just because for $85, I'm just stunned at what this thing is capable of doing. Now, if I can actually make it do it, that'd be better. But considering I have a brand new ham that doesn't have anything just yet, maybe something that can do 2 meter, 70 centimeter. I think this thing can monitor some other bands. I don't know if it can transmit. I think the code plug has some 1.25 meter in it. I'm like, huh, can it do that? I saw some 800 megahertz in there, too. I'm like, it can't do that. So we'll see what's going on with this code plug and what the radio could actually do. But N8XN. Negative contact, ELO. One of us is in a bad location. November 8 X-rays. Thanks again. If you're lost contact, 7-3. If you're not, I'll stand by.
KFA-DIC. Oh, Greg, you're not coming good. WDAKLL, you're not coming that good.
How about now, Jack?
That was excellent.
I don't know. I was on the Flint repeater. I switched to the Holly repeater, and I could hear better, but obviously you can't hear me as good.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I said, I hope you had a good visit at the doctor and got a clean bill of health.
It's just a routine checkup, you know, every 3 months, that's all.
Okay, roger that one. Yeah, I got to go in
next month for my physical. I always get my physical the first of the year, so I remember. And, yeah, looking forward to that.
Oh, they took three bottles of blood this morning.
Yeah, that's probably the norm there, three or four anyways. At least that's what they take out of me for my full physical every year. So I'm not a good blood giver myself. It's funny because I'm an EMT, you know, certified EMT, and I can respond to accidents, but I cannot give blood.
Well, almost I am. My blood is negative, never positive.
Roger on that one. Okay, Jack, I just pulled in my driveway here. I got some groceries I got to get in, and maybe we'll catch you on the radio inside. WDAK, I'll be clear after yours.
Hi, Greg. You're sounding good right now, and stay where you're at. You'll be okay. Have a good day. KFADIC.
WARCY. I was born in 1956, resident of St. Clair Shores until about 1980, and graduate of Lakeview, class of 74. But I remember that barbershop being Pete Barbershop. Then I think it was Vic's. Yeah, that's the way I remember it. WARCY. Gentlemen, go ahead with your cue show. Have a great afternoon.
DCAKJO.
W8FU.
It's the damnest thing.
I can't believe I got to do this four more times this week.
I am lucky there. Tomorrow's it for me. And then I got to do the same thing the following week. Anywho, we've been over that. So, just leaving.
Just jumped in the truck and sitting at Hall Road waiting to get out. I'm assuming you're about to be home?
No, my last job of the day was a couple miles from home, so when I finished up, there was no point in driving all the way up there just to turn right around and come back. So I got home early, and now I'm just heading out. I worked from home until 3:30, and then I decided, you know, with this cold snap, I better go check out Don's house. I haven't been there in months. Make sure there's no broken pipes or any other crap that's going to require an emergency.
Oh, I don't want to get into details over the air. So the house isn't sold or isn't being sold?
I give up trying to figure out what he's doing, the kid. We correspond every now and again. He got a hold of me, and he asked about shipping his dad's van out there. He says, you know, if he wants, I'll go get a battery for it and put it in and get it running and, you know, tell him, you know, what's the story on it. And I didn't hear nothing back from him. And there's not much else in there. I just, like I said, I periodically stop by just to make sure there's no broken pipes or anything he has to worry about. And I was really worried today because it's been so long and it's been so cold, but it was okay. Got the temperature set to like 45 or 50 or something like that, so it's just keeping everything just fine. But yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the plan is. I'm going to probably reach out to them when the weather breaks a little and I told him I'd do a video walkthrough. Do you want me to just go through room by room with the video? We'll do a live thing, like Teams, and I'll just kind of like, you know, you can just say, oh, show me that, show me this, look in there, look at that. He said that was good, so I got to connect with him on that. But as far as what they're doing officially, no clue.
That's kind of strange. I thought for sure that house would have been sold, you know, shortly after, but everyone does things a little bit differently.
He ain't doing himself any favors. The longer he sits on it, the more, you know, I noticed the wind pulled some siding off of, you know, it's just a little gable area, but the windstorm we had a year ago tore that off, and he's had water come up in the basement twice. He had a couple of water incidents, and there's been a couple other odds and ends, but I think the sooner he can, he's just asking for trouble, the sooner he can get that thing gutted and on the market, the better. But I don't know, I'll reach out to him probably after the holidays and ask what he wants to do, see if I can get that van running for him, give him an update on that. Although he wanted it to, you know, just to drive until their new van came in, and you know, you would think that would have been timely. So I should probably reach out to him sooner rather than later. I don't know. It's always me reaching out, which is weird. You would think that he would reach out and give me direction, what he wants. Now, I got to make a stop here real quick. I don't expect any more than about 5 minutes. So if you're just hitting the road, you'll probably still be here. W8FU.
Oh, yeah. I got 37 to go. N8DDF.
W8FU, KZ8Z.
He just jumped out, Dave.
Okay. I heard you guys talking, and then I got out of the car for a sec and got back in. So I missed him. What's up, Dakota? You must be on your way home.
He's doing the same thing, so he should be back here in a couple minutes. But, yes, sir, on the way home. What about you?
Just making a Christmas cookie run. My wife baked up a whole boatload of biscotti, I'm not sure how you say it. Those cookies are great with coffee. And then she put them in like little Christmas tin boxes and stuff. So we're going around to our friends' homes and dropping them on their porch, and doing the ding dong ditch, and they get a little Christmas surprise.
Oh yeah, that's the good stuff. Those and Anna's S cookies are my favorite cookies around this time of year.
Oh, yeah. I do like the Anna's, too. Not very many people do. You got to be a fan of black licorice. Plus, you got to not breathe in, not inhale when you're eating those. Isn't that the ones, don't they have the powdered sugar stuff on them?
I think the original, like the VS cookie, it's like a glaze. I don't think it's got powdered sugar, but I'm pretty sure that people do put powdered sugar on it. There's this doughy, dry cookie that my grandma makes that I know what you're talking about. I bite into it, I'm like, if I inhale, I'm going to choke to death. I think that might be the one you're talking about. They're like little balls, maybe. But yeah, Anna's, man. I love that stuff. I love black licorice. I love Jägermeister. But definitely, you know, it's an acquired taste. I think more people dislike licorice than there are that like it.
Yep, totally agree. My wife's sitting here going, heck yeah, I don't know how people eat that stuff. But yeah, the one with the powdered sugar, it is those little ball cookies. Yeah, and they're really dry, and you bite them, and yeah, if you breathe in, you're done. It's like breathing in on what's the other thing? A beignet donut down in New Orleans. That's not good. Don't breathe in.
I've never been a fan of those cookies. I don't like dry cookies, especially cookies that are dry enough to potentially make my tongue stop moving in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't really like crumbly cookies, like chocolate chip cookies, those ones that are crispy and you bust them in half and they break. I'm not a fan. I like them not chewy, but just soft, like cakey. Listen to us talking about cookies. I got nothing else to say on the baking matter.
I know one thing, you don't want to be tossing your cookies.
No, that's not good.
Well, I suppose there's some circumstances where that wouldn't be bad, like if you ingested some poison. That wouldn't be bad. So, this is not always bad.
Hey, Sean, I heard you talking earlier about Don's place. If you ever need any help with anything there, again, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to help doing whatever.
Yeah, I got to reach out to Sean and ask him what he wants. Does he want me to get that van running? I think I'd have to run and get a battery and throw it in there and then get it started and take it around the block a few times. And then as far as the house goes, you know, there's just, you know, I'm just going to take him on a video tour, I think, and just kind of show him what's there. And I'm pretty sure at this point, you know, there's some, like, there's still some of his ham radio stuff, but it's all just, like, you know, junk drawer stuff. You know, there's really not anything significant. You kind of saw it downstairs. So I don't know what, you know, what all. I know he just wants it gone, right? So, and I know the more we can get out of there before he has to hire somebody to do it, the less it'll cost him. But anyhow, I'm not going to worry too much about it because it's not my problem.
That's true. You've been very helpful. And apparently he doesn't think it's his problem either because it's been, man, it's been a long time. And he could have just rented a dumpster, gotten that place cleaned out, and sold it for a steal. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, just wanted to throw it out there. So keep in mind if you need any help doing that stuff. I got to drop off another set of cookies here, so I'll be monitoring when I get back in. So I'll talk to you guys later. See Dakota and Sean, KZAT.
I'll catch you later, man. Go drop them off. Toss them. I don't know what's going on, but I am currently not moving on northbound M53. One never knows, but I think I'm going to stop at Marshall's here. They got all that also ran stuff. I'm going to go see if I can find a pair of gloves. I'm looking for a certain kind of glove, some kind of particular, and just, I'm not having luck. I, too, just went on a glove quest and ended up keeping the old gloves I have because I've not been able to find a replacement that I think is worthy of replacing them with. What are you looking for? Are you one of those skin-tight gloves that you want to be able to use electronics still kind of guys? Negative. I want something, I don't hardly ever wear gloves. I mean, I wear mechanics gloves if I'm doing anything precision, and I don't expect those to give me a lot of warmth. But they do, you know, they do give you just enough. Normally, I don't wear gloves at all. No, I'm looking for a pair of gloves that, I want them to go on and off easy. I don't want to, like, struggle into them. And, you know, I want them to have a little bit of liner so that, you know, just when it's bitter cold like now, and if I've got to stand around outside, I want something to kind of, you know, give me a little protection. So, but I just want them easy on, easy off. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I've had several pairs like it over the years. But I never go for much. I'm not a glove guy. And so, I don't know. I saw some Carhartts at the Ace Hardware by my house that were close, but still not quite.
I'm the same way. I hunt without gloves. I do not like gloves. I have some nice Sika leather hunting gloves that I wear the crap out of if I have to wear gloves, like throwing decoys or if I'm just standing there on a boat freezing and I'm holding my shotgun. But I don't really deer hunt in gloves. And I was going to say, my recommendation, if you can tolerate the bright yellow, but I think they come in white, I wear Wells Lomont Hydra-Hide gloves when I'm doing anything outside, hot or cold. There's no liner in them, but they're just enough to keep the chill off. Like, that's what I plow the driveway with. Anything right now, if I'm outside working on things, that's, I've got those on. Or, like you, I wear mechanics gloves. Yeah, no gloves and pockets most of the time. Pockets for if I got to stand around. You know, mechanics gloves if I need just a little something and I got to work, do anything. You know, this is just like a special kind of like, and I know that I'll know the glove when I got it. There used to be these brown like cotton ones. They're nothing special. They're just these, I don't know if they're gardener gloves or what. They're just brown cotton, and they have like a red felt liner. They're just cheap as dirt, you know, and I used to get them at the hardware store, and those were fine. I should probably just go find a couple more pairs of those. They don't last real long. You know, you get about a season out of them, two if you're lucky, you know, but they're cheap as dirt, and those were ideal. You know, they were exactly what I was looking for. I should probably just go find some of those. I wonder where the hell I could find those again. I thought I got those at Ace, but ever since Ace, it used to be Aco, and now that they're Ace, they're like a Carhartt affiliate. So everything's Carhartt, and I don't need to spend $30 on a cheap pair of gloves, you know. You know, well, I mean, they're not cheap. You know, they're a better glove, but they're all just more than I want. I noticed that. I was at Tractor Supply the other day looking at gloves, which is where I got these Wells Lomonts that I like a lot, but they're getting a little old and worn out. And everything they had there was like Carhartt, and it was $29.99 for a pair of gloves. I'm like, who's buying these things? I know they're not going to hold up, so I've just been hanging up to mine. I think I'm going to order a 3-pack on Amazon. And it's funny, man, you find something that you like, and you just don't want to change it. And I think the gloves, there's probably a bunch of brands, but I think Kinko, K-I-N-C-O, makes the gloves you're talking about. Yeah, you know what, I'm going to run into Marshalls here and see if they got anything on the clearance rack. Every once in a while I hit gold here, but not that often. I do better at TJ Maxx, but I'm going to go see what Marshalls, since it's right here, has. But if not, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to find some of them brown ones, them brown felt ones. I just got to figure out who the hell sells them. All right, I'll be back in a few. Hopefully traffic's moving for you now. W8FU. All right, good luck. 10-8, UDF, standing by.
It's too cold to stand by. You need to be sitting down in a warm vehicle.
Yep, I had to turn my auto heated seat, heated wheel on, because I usually, in the fall, it'll be like 60 degrees or 50 degrees, and it turns that crap on. I'm like, what are you, out of your mind? And I finally caved. I turned it back on, so when I remote start the truck, the seat's turned on when I get in it.
I can remote start my vehicle, but I don't have heated seats. I don't have a heated steering wheel. But my daughter does. She has heated seats, but not a heated steering wheel. And I have heated seats in the Escalade. It's a remote start, but because the engine light's on, I go, no, can't do it anymore.
It has become a creature comfort that I don't think I can live without anymore. I used to say that I couldn't. Here we are. When I had my Tacoma, it didn't have a heated steering wheel, but it had heated seats, and man, I missed the heated steering wheel.
No, I just raised my Tuchus off, either way. Well, you know, as long as my fan is heated before I walk onto it, then I'm happy, because it means the steering wheel is warm. And it cloth seats, and I'll wear them up, you know, freezing my butt on those.
That's why I like cloth. I did notice that. We took my wife's truck yesterday, and the heated seats were hot instantly. And then my truck, I'm now at 30-mile road, and I can finally feel it, and they've been on high since I left.
Yeah, this thing gets pretty warm. You know, when I get home, I turn the heat all the way up, I turn the fan all the way up, put it on defrost, and then I start it up right about 6:45. By the time I walk out the door, what an asshole. You're not going to get past me. By the time I walk out there, it's warm enough for me. I'm comfy.
I just said the same exact thing. Someone just pulled out in front of me on the Michigan left at 30-mile road, and I was doing, I don't know, 55, 60, which is close enough to the speed limit of 55, and they're now in front of me doing 60 in a 70.
Ran to 75 north from West Palm Beekeeper. I had it floored, and I was running out of the acceleration lady. He says, cruising right there, so I just forced my way over. He wouldn't budge. You know, I was like, he was going to run me off the road, and I wasn't going to slam on the brakes.
People are idiots. That happens to me weekly, where 53 goes down to one lane at 32 or 34-mile road. I had some guy the other day. I was like playing chicken with him. He wouldn't let me over in the merge. And I was like, I'm not in the wrong here, so if you hit me, it's on you. And I just kept going. He finally moved. But, yeah, same thing. We're both touching the opposite line because he wouldn't let me in. And I couldn't go forward or back because it was people. And that's pretty much weekly because everyone thinks that you can just block the zipper merge over there. People don't understand what a zipper merge is.
Yeah, if there's a sentence that says right lane ends a quarter mile, well, you should get over. You know? And then they race past you, get up to the stoplight, like, ooh, you're one car ahead of me. Well, was that worth it?
Yep, I don't understand why road rage is such an issue. Just drive and be courteous as much as you can. I mean, I'm not the most courteous driver, but I'm also not just going to be a dick like most people.
Exactly. I mean, I let people in, and, you know, my wife gets kind of road rageous, you know. That person's going to cut me off. I'm like, who cares? Why is it such an issue that somebody is going in front of you? You're going to get to the same place at the same time.
That's correct. It's not country roads anymore. There's always going to be someone in front of you anywhere you go.
Yeah, my boss had a sign on his car that says, I may be slow, but I'm in front of you. Just to piss people off.
You like today because it's the week before Christmas and everyone's probably burning up PTO. I was in the left lane all the way to where it merged, then I merged right over seamlessly and none of us touched our brakes and we're all just moving on our merry way.
That's why I'm so glad I don't live down in that area. I like being in Memphis. It's quiet. Traffic jam is when you get a cow in the road.
You cannot give me a house in Romeo. Bruce Township, maybe, because it's north enough and west. But Romeo, hell no. There's so many people here. As someone who grew up here my entire life, went to school here, learned how to drive here, like, the traffic around here now is insane.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're going into high school, or what used to be the high school when my daughter was there. Because I live right there on Minot and Chandler. So I go up and then I have to wait for somebody to pick, you know, to let me come in. And they're all rude and they all block you and no, you can't get in front of me. You know, just to get in there and drop her off to spin around and go back up and go around the block. And then when she got her license, she started driving. She had a full-size pickup truck. And she goes, you're going to let me in or I'm going to punch you. And they let her in every single time. Hey, Sam, can you do it for ID? Because I haven't done that yet.
How long ago did you live off of Minot? Because in high school, one of my best friends lived with his dad on Minot. God, where, I don't know where Chandler's at in relation to his house. It was basically, it was at like a T in the road, a little white house with a detached white garage. I'm trying to think what the hell the road was in front of his house.
I live 4 or 5 houses west of that big house that's right there on Minot, in the corner of Minot. Oh, I can't think. Not Potter. It's something else. But I lived right there, little bungalow.
This was a long time ago. I think they moved when we were still in high school. No, shortly after high school. But yeah, I used to be there all the time. Yeah, west. It was. Oh God, I gotta look it up now. It's gonna drive me nuts.
Well, he had Minot went up at a T. It ended. I think that was Chandler right there that ran along the cemetery. Want to say it was Sisson. No, Prospect. So I was 4 houses west of Prospect on Minot on the north side. Because he had the big mansion right there in the corner of Prospect and Minot that was friends of ours. And then a few houses up, and I was this little bungalow.
If I'm looking at this right, I think I am, yeah. No way. Were you his neighbor, Sisliga?
I lived there from 2010 to 2016, roughly. 2011 to 2016, something like that. So my daughter graduated in 2015, and then we were out the following summer.
414 Minot. I can't believe I remembered the address. Yeah, 414 Minot.
And he was 2 houses east. I lived in 434 Minot.
Well, if you saw some annoying kids with loud subwoofers and old cars, that was us.
Yeah, when did you graduate? What, 2010?
My buddy that lived there was 2010, I was 2011, and then he had a younger sister that graduated in 2013, I think. Maybe, yeah, 2013.
Bunch of kids, and the mom drove a Ford with a manifold leak on it, like an old Ford Explorer, something like that.
That might have been one of the friends of the daughter, if I'm remembering correctly. This was a long time ago. I drove a black Explorer. He drove like a 96 green Monte Carlo. And then the dad drove a white Dakota and then a white Ram.
Yep, I was there when you were there. Yeah, little punk making all that noise.
Yep, the subwoofers were ridiculous. We'd always go to Gibraltar Trade Center and trade and buy and put crap in our cars and piss off everyone in the neighborhood. Just be thankful that wasn't the party house. We weren't allowed to drink there. We just go there and play video games and then leave.
Yeah, it was a little gray house. I had the 2 dogs in the backyard. On a leash, and then we had the one to the east of us, Johnny Katie, and then she passed away, I think, a year or two prior to us moving out, something like that.
I remember hearing about that. What a small world, man.
Yeah, Rachel started at Romeo in 2011, fall of 2011, because we moved in. In like May or June of 2011, and then she graduated in 2015.
So I went to school with your daughter for 1 year.
Well, if you graduated in 2011, you were gone by May or June, and she didn't start until September of 2011.
That's right. My bad. So I did not go to school with your daughter for 1 year. I was the year right before her.
Yes, but her pal is Mrs. Parker Losey.
So what made you guys decide to move to Emmett?
Oh, you mean Memphis? Well, we were renting the house in Romeo, and the landlord became a jack-o'-lantern, to put it nicely. And we were supposed to buy it from him. And then kept asking him to buy the house. I'm like, yeah, we can buy it. He goes, I thought we were doing rent-to-own. He goes, oh, no, I have a second mortgage on it. So, I'll sell it to you for $180. I said, this house wasn't worth $180. We'll look for other places. So he gave us an ultimatum. We left, moved in with family for about a year and a half so I could build my finances back up. And then once that happened, then bought the house in Memphis, moved in there in the spring of 2018, been there ever since.
Memphis, my bad. I wonder if that landlord still owns that house.
Nope. He ended up selling it. I mean, at first when we said that, they said, well, we want to move in here. We want it to be our retirement home, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, okay, we're looking for something else. And then he ended up turning around and selling it. He was trying to sell it for like $160. He ended up getting only like $120 for it. The guy was a cheap skate. I mean, he was cheap. It took him 2 days to replace my water heater because he didn't want to do it, but he knew he had to by law. And then he sued me for like $7,000 for stupid stuff. But only walked away with my security deposit, which paid for the water bill, and maybe $200 more for two broken panes of glass on the screen doors and a small dent in the garage door. Yeah, so he was an a-hole, and his wife was a stay next Tuesday.
Yeah, it sounds like the exact kind of guy I don't want to rent from ever. I'm glad those days are behind me. I had two landlords, three if you count college, which that was a no big deal. They loved me and I got away with murder. But when I lived in Romeo, I lived off of Spring Street, my first apartment on my own. It was a little two-bed, one-bath, like 1,000-square-foot apartment, baseboard heat, no AC. And the first, like, winter cold snap that we got, I think I only stayed there for a year, actually. He was infested with mice. So I'd wake up in the morning and turn the light on, and it was something out of a movie. Just came running all over the counter. So my dog and I are just grabbing them and killing them and smacking them, and it was ridiculous. And she caught me for months. And she's like, there's nothing wrong with that, blah, blah, blah. And I started getting nasty with her. I'm like, here's the deal. There's going to be an escrow with the rent until you get this remedied. And then they were magically out there the next week.
Oh, they're destructive little things. My house here in Memphis had one. I'm like, oh, okay, so I caught it and got rid of it. Next thing I had more and more, and I'm like, I had like 30 mice. My cat just looked at him like, meh. So I ended up starting setting traps because I wasn't going to keep using live traps and taking them to the cemetery and dumping them out. I got done with it. So I started catching them. I found out it was from the bird feeder that my wife had in the front yard. She's like, oh, look at all the cute little mice eating the seeds down there. Yeah, those little mice were sitting there, and they didn't pass by it out.
I think Sean's back. Yeah, for a couple of minutes. Found a pair of gloves in Marshalls. They're nothing great. Looks like some house brand from somewhere that they're closing out, which is what Marshalls does. But $14, and they seem to kind of be what I'm looking for, so yay. Well, there you go. Better than having cold hands if you need gloves.
Exactly. You know, paint gloves is better than milk gloves, especially in this weather. And alas, I have arrived at my final destination for the day here in Bluefield, and then I'm going home. So I will catch you guys in a bit. 73 above the KCA-KGO.
Now, wait a minute. This final destination of the day should be your house. So this is your second to last destination of the day.
All right, my final work destination, and then I'm done for the day. How's that? Is that better?
I just want to make sure that you're going home, you know? Doesn't sound good staying in a customer's location. Have fun.
Yeah, it should only be a couple of minutes. I just got to program an app onto a computer. That's it. All right, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you in a minute. KCKKO.
$20 is $20. There you go. All right, I just pulled up at the house. Wife's probably wondering why it took me an hour to go get two scripts up at the corner. But I didn't tell her I was going to Don's or a couple of stores looking for gloves, so here we are. All right, I'm going to transition to the house. Back in a bit, if you're still out here. W8FU. I think we're all in synchrony here. I am turning onto my road, and I'm going to be backing in my driveway in about 2 seconds, so I will catch you guys later. N8, DBF.
All done.
Already?
Yeah, the lady I needed to see, she was taking off. Actually, the two girls I needed to see, they were both leaving. One was the office manager, and the other one was the IT manager. So, but all right, this is what you gotta do, and then if anything, call me. So that's what we're gonna do.
Now you can go back home.
Now I get to go back home.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the Grand Lake now, so I got about 25 minutes left.
Oh, I'm in West Bloomfield, over by Hills, and I gotta go all the way up to Memphis. I don't like taking Hall Road, but I guess I'll give it a shot today.
Yeah, I guess you don't have the mall there anymore. That was always a thing that would slow you down. But, yeah, you're kind of getting to the time where people are starting to fizzle off from work.
Come on. No, right around Adams Road and M59, you got that whole shopping area right there that gets annoying.
Yeah, I just remember heading down there and get to Lakeside, it'd be a nightmare, but that's not an issue anymore. You gotta go to Perkins Creek for that now.
Oh, it still gets backed up right around there. Van Dyke, Shanner, and stuff like that. You got Restaurant Row, and it's the Golden Corridor. So it's still backed up with all the tutti frutti's that are hopping and hobbing with each other. Don't care about anybody around them.
Yeah, people are starting to take vacation before Christmas, too, so. I only got 2 days left to work the year. I don't know, probably not even going to go to the office for those two.
An Amazon drone just flew above me. Isn't that interesting?
I haven't seen one of those. They have a little package hanging from underneath it, too.
again, I didn't see it with the white ball and blue wings and rotors. I mean, certainly not the aerospace company that's around the corner.
I did see a couple weeks ago there was like a drone show going on somewhere over by Tufts University on the on the west side of 75, there's a bunch of drones flying around doing a little light show, but I don't know what would even be there.
Yeah, I can't even think, unless there was something with the M1 Concourse. But, no, there's something saying that the Pontiac Distribution Center for Amazon is going to be using drones, you know, for small packages. And one just flew over. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's right now beta testing them. Seeing what their distance is before they crash.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they started already. yeah, I don't know. I thought it would have been M1. It was a lot closer to 75. It was like 75 University. So. I know I've seen them up across from Mount Holly, but there's a little RC airport kind of deal over there, so. They were flying over there.
Yeah, good question. I mean, because that's right over by us. And, I mean, there's a couple R&Ds down there. You got Delphi, but Delphi is further down. So, who knows? Might be one of the companies right there, right off of a university.
Yeah, maybe it was somebody's Christmas party ordeal. saw it when I was getting gas, and by the time I got back on the highway, it was gone.
Yeah, that would have been kind of neat to see.
Maybe. I haven't had much experience with drones yet. I've seen other people flying them, but the kid wanted one for Christmas. I was looking at getting her a good one, but those things are expensive.
Easy, kid, Joe. I got a nice one. It's collapsible, and it's under the weight for getting an FCC license for it, or FAA, whatever you gotta get for it. And you hook it up to your smartphone. It's got auto leveling, auto return home. It's got GPS on it, so. And goes into sport mode, and you can bring it up to 400 feet. The battery lasts quite a bit. I'll send you the link to it. I like the method. I want it at our Christmas party, but it's about $300.
Yeah, I got her a cheaper one. I think it was 50 or 60 bucks, but yeah, like the DJIs are like $500 or $600 for the cheap one. And who knows what you get with the Chinese ones that Amazon has. But I decided I'll go with the cheap one that flies it into something and breaks it. Oh well.
Yeah, this one you gotta sync it. It's got the gyroscope on it, so it stays level. I hit a button that says take off, and it takes off, and it goes up and hovers at 6 feet, and from there I just hit the up, and zoop, up she goes. I got some pretty good aerial shots with it.
Yeah, they've had those little, like, really cheap ones that, can't control them at all. They just kind of like they take off and then will hover there, and you kind of guide it with your hand, you know. They don't really go anywhere, but we've had a couple of those, but not that you can really control and fly around. But I don't even think this one has a camera. I think it's just a thing to fly around, like a little model airplane, basically.
Yeah, I got one of those too. Now this one, I got a camera on it that I can bring up, bring down, zoom in, zoom out.
take photos, take movies. It has the follow me function, so I can have it fly and I can walk around and it follows me. You know, so it's pretty cool, like I said, but I looked apart in the market price for it, and it was like $300. I haven't used it in about a year, just it's in this little case all folded up, but I love it. I just been playing with my radios more than I have my drone.
Yeah, some of the guys have them to fly towers with them, you know, check out antennas and whatnot. I used it last year for the set to do, not the fall, but the spring set. They were doing aerial photography for the, whatever the thing was. And it was part of the scenario was the aerial photorist, and they were doing that with, one of my guys was doing that with his drone.
You know, this was nice too, is I can, on my smartphone, you know, I link it to that, and I can watch the video as I'm flying and spin it around, so that when I see a shot, I want to take it. I've got it probably, my daughter's got it the highest, I think she did like 160 or 180 feet with it. I'm like, well, you got that thing way up there. And it was on sport, so there's like professional mode, sport mode, race mode, something like that. So I got it on just, on one mode where it doesn't go any higher than maybe about 120 feet, so I'm going to see how crashed the darn thing. But she does pretty good. Maybe when the weather gets better, I'll drop by your office and take a look at it.
Yeah, more toys to play with. I got a whole arsenal of RC cars that I've been playing with, the girls have been playing with. The oldest, for her birthday, we got her a faster motor for it because she's had the slow one because her sister's got my one of my old upgraded ones. So she's got the upgraded motor for that one, then we gotta supposed to put that in there for her, so we do that over the winter, so she'll be ready for the spring.
Yeah, one of my former co-workers sold me two nitros, probably $30 with the starter and everything. He sold it all to me for like 30 to maybe $50 total. I bought it and I sold it to my neighbor. I asked him if he wanted this nitro stuff. He goes, yeah, dude. So I bought it from him and then brought it over. And, but right now he's rebuilding his big car. And when he's done with that, then he's going to tear apart the nitros and get them all looped up again and start working. Because I'm sitting in the garage kind of thrusting the pistons a little bit. A little bit of moisture in there.
KFA, FTT, Rich.
Go ahead, Breaker.
Hey, you doing? Sorry to interrupt. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm gonna, if I'm not, then it's just yelling. I hear you talking about the RC car stuff. I'm getting ready to move to the other side of the state, and I've got a couple of cars that I want to get rid of. Ruster, VXL, four-wheel drive, thing goes about 80 mile an hour. And I got a Bigfoot two-wheel drive that I want to get rid of. I want about...
Yeah, I've got a Rustler. It's about to be basically a VXL. Yeah, more than I need right now.
Yeah, copy that. I just got it going out there. That little Rustler is fast. I ran into the side of my foot with it about 45 mile an hour. And I was pretty bruised up for a while. But yeah, they're fun, but I just don't. It was just one of my midlife crises.
investments I make will be with radios and antennas and stuff like that. And my son doesn't do the nitro stuff anymore. But put them on Facebook Marketplace, and you'll get quite a few hits on it.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people just checking inventory, too.
Yeah, I've got an E-Revo. That thing is quite a bit more weight to it than a Rustler. Yeah, hit yourself with that thing, and you might break a leg.
Maybe try to low buy or change it for some pod, or, I always got something like this. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out there, so PF8-FTT-73.
Alright, WS and Test Truck 123.
Truck works, Fred.
Alright. Here's me on the truck. And then here's me on Flint, same radio.
Truck sounds slightly hotter.
That's what I was curious. I can drop it down a little. Alright.
Not bad, it's just slightly hotter. Anyway.
Yeah. Truck sounds hot, a little bit hot there, Fred. The other one sounds good. KCKGO.
Okay, here's truck 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And here's Flint, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'd say it's about even.
Okay,
saving the truck file. Great. I need to go get my other set of keys, and I'm going to hit the road.
I'll just put that to a test right away, aren't you?
I got to run down to the plant and pick up a couple of items, so it'll be a jaunt down Davisburg, but then I got to see how everything rides here in the back of the truck with it loaded, too. So I'm going to go grab my other keys. I'll be right back.
Come.
Down, Lance.
All the toys.
Well, on that Balfing 5XR that I got over at the Micro Center that they say it does D20, it did D20 all right. I was sitting in Livonia and actually made a contact with Peter on D20, and then we switched over to Dearborn and made contact there. So that little HD will work for now.
Yeah, I don't have anything that'll transmit 220. But everything I have is dual band only.
Well, it's was only $9.70 for one, and it's a tri-bander, UHF, UHF, TNL, 2 meter 440 and 1.25, so 1.25 meter. And, it sounds a little tinny, because it's a foul thing, but it still was halfway decent conversation. So I bought three of them. I got one program. The other two are still sitting in the box. But it'll work for now. I find something else, but doesn't seem like there's a lot of K20 around here anyway. K-A-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-
not aware of anything that is repeater-wise that I remember. But I know up here in Flint and Saginaw, they've got quite a few 220 stuff and 220 packet, all sorts of stuff using 220, but yeah, I don't know. Down there, it's probably not as useful. kind of wondering what the new Kenwood is going to be, and I'm old and it's supposed to be tri-band, but I don't know, 220 is not high priority for me.
Yeah, you ain't got the HF is where I like to be, and of course the digital mode. Even with 6 meter, you really don't do much on 6 meter. I don't hear much on 6 meter. So, and UHF is where it's at right now in this area, so that's where I stay.
All the cool kids are on 220. You're the only cool kid. Are you still a cool kid?
I think so. All right. I'm going to send mobile.
Ooh, this truck is loaded. You get too much junk in your trunk?
I feel like it. Well, the wire guard to the 44 net was having issues. It would not run, so I had to remove it and set up, or just because I have a static, public static address in my truck, so I was like, I'm from Verizon, so I was like, screw it, I'll just do a simple port on 4569 to the Ethernet, and did that, and it took right off.
Still got all those goodies in the back seat.
What goodies?
The radio goodies.
Oh, my seat. We cleaned the whole truck out because I had to, you know. There's 10 boxes of wire and networking and tubs, and yeah, there's my truck's full right now. So I took all that stuff out. We got Saturday, or no, Friday. Yeah, Friday morning. All it's all cleared out.
Yes, you're loaded down with work stuff now, not the fun stuff. Anyway, I'm pulling in, so I will say 7-3.
They're horizontal boring across the street from the south.
Oh, all right. Sammy,
that's it. Yeah, I got to call the better half because she's now Sammy on my phone seeing what the game plan is. All right, Sammy, thank you, Lance. And Fred, drive safe. I'll chat with you guys later. KCKGO.
Round and round the roundabout I go. WFSL.
Shortlist conversation on the phone. Roundabouts are fun until they get annoying. KCKGO.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Anyone there?
I heard a station out there. KF8DRC. Go ahead, that station out there. You got an emergency?
No, I don't have an emergency. This is just Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. I was curious if anyone was there.
You're sounding good. I don't know what your location. I'm over here in Rochester.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Are you there, Tim? This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Are you there, Tim?
WD8KLL, KF8DRC. KF8, DIC, clear.
NADBS.
What are you still doing now?
I'm at my desk drinking beer right where I like to be.
Well, you sound real good.
This is a result of a really nice radio being used for something it's really not intended for.
This is your bass that you got?
It's really a portable radio, Shack in the Box, QRP, ICOM 705, so it does, it's really like a Poto rig, but I'm using it as a bass because I have a UHF amp, which I'm not using, and a VHF amp, which I'm not using, and an antenna, or a HF jumper, also on my desk that I'm not using right now. So it kind of just does everything sitting here, so I like it.
Is that the one that you throw in your wife's truck when you take it?
No, that one is just my ICOM 2730. That's just a 50-watt UHF VHF.
Gotcha. That sounds good. Like I said, you're using a radio that, which you really don't want to intend to use it for, but you're using it, and it sounds good.
Yeah, it depends on who you're asking. Some people say it sounds processed. Some people say it sounds good. I don't know. I think it sounds good when I back monitor, but it be what it be. I'm just getting into Richmond, too. So the antenna is 99% of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought you were mobile, but, no. You got good distance there sitting in Emily. Hitting Richmond Tower? Absolutely.
Richmond on 1 watt. I don't know how far that is. I don't know where the repeater is at exactly, but it's probably a good little stretch. Better than Romeo. I can't hit Romeo. I mean, I can hit Romeo fine. It just doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, I'm mobile going through Richmond, and I'm on 5 watts.
Yeah, you are also very, very, very quiet in here, so you sound good.
Yeah, I'm just north of the tower, so should be doing okay. Tim hits it here at 5 watts, and he's like 7 blocks from the receiver.
Is Richmond on the water tower? Where's that repeater at?
It's been on the water tower. It's a little bit further southeast, I guess you can say. It's over somewhere by, I think, the park or by the MSP post.
I'm not super familiar with Richmond, but I do know there's a park downtown somewhere.
General idea where it's at, I know it's on the east side of M19, right around there. So it's not on a 300-foot tower or anything like that, but it is. It's got good heights on it. Just know exactly where it is, and basically it's for downtown Richmond. Just don't know where, but I know it's like really close.
Well, for the sake of conversation, I am 18.29 miles away from the high school, from my antenna.
Sure is the crow flies, so you're right there. What's really funny is because Romeo's closer, but I think Romeo is not as high up. And it's probably got the trees around it or something. I know Romeo's like a touch-and-go kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can get into Romeo just fine. I'll flip over in a second, but it just seems like it's kind of crippled. Let me see here. If I'm in town, this one's like half the distance.
Yeah, I don't know what the wattage is on Romeo, and then Sean's other. I'm not sure what equipment he's running over there.
can hit it more northwest, and I can actually south or just west of it. You know, when I come into Addison Township, it's a little sketchy, so, but I can hit Richmond just fine.
Yeah, two antenna, two antenna, 9.7 miles to Romeo.
My gosh, you should be hitting that just point blank almost and getting in there really good.
Here's Romeo. I've never tried it on 1 watt. I don't even know if I'm making it in.
Oh, yeah, you're doing just fine. Full quieting. You sound the same as going into Richmond, so, yeah, you're doing great.
Well, there you go. The antenna's everything.
Yeah, it must be really nice. Is that the one that you got 30 feet up in the air?
Yes, the base antenna is 34 feet up, and the antenna is 8.6 feet tall, I think, 8 feet tall.
Okay, definitely, you're, you know, the top of the stick is sitting at 40 feet, so that's a good height right there.
Big, having a similar antenna inside my attic.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick mine. Well, eventually, I'm going to stick mine up in my attic. You know, when I get that far, when I get some more funds together. I don't want anything. I mean, I could put it outside on the back side of the house, but then I got to run a ground strap, and I'm going to go down to the ground rod on the side of the house. And, you know, all I wanted to do is just be able to hit Mount Clemens on an HD, you know, not an HD, but a little mobile I got sitting there in the house.
Yeah, you should be fine. It's just up there and good. Should be, I mean, God, I could hit that with an HT for my old house. But yeah, I just get that up there. I still got a ground mine, too. I got a ground rod in the ground. I just have these hose clamps. I didn't buy the right gauge ground wire. And I have a lightning arrestor. I got a ground out, too. So that's a spring problem. I need to get some smaller wire.
You can just get some branded copper, you know, bare copper, and bring it down there. Do it that way.
Yeah, or that. I just need something to tie it together. I bought this gauge, and it's not close to fitting.
Gotcha. And of course, you got to ground the tower, too. I gotta go lift the
child
out.
Child running away. Did you? So you're going to Richmond. You're heading home then, obviously.
And then time to make dinner in about 15 minutes.
I doubled with you. I was just asking if you were almost home.
Yep, just pulled in front of the house. My dog is licking the window because Daddy's home. And go inside, let them out, and then grab my HD and go on the node. Chit-chat that way.
All right, man. Sounds good. Yeah, I should be out here for a couple more minutes. Just hanging out before bedtime. And I haven't played radio from the house in a couple weeks, so figured I'd fire it up. All right. NATBF.
Sounds good, sir. I'll chat with you later or in the morning. 73.
KF8FGT from AC8AC, mobile 8.